If there's one thing many executives want to know, it's how to replace themselves. YPO member Fred Crisetto successfully groomed his own replacement CEO and completed the entire transition in less than 2 years. I'm Kevin Daum, and this is the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. Each week, I bring you insights from the world's top executives of the Young Presidents Organization, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, growthinstitute.com. I'm here with YPO member Fred Crisetto. He's the founder and chief energizing officer of Amex Corp and Amex iSupport. Amex is an Inc. 500 company. They've got offices in the U.S., the Philippines, China, and Malaysia. You were on the 100 fastest growing private companies an astounding 8 times. And you've been named Seattle Business Magazine's 100 best companies to work for. Fred, glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me on the show, Kevin.
You've got the strangest situation in the world. You have built an empire on something as simple as latex gloves. I know what people want to know is, how do you take something so simple and uninteresting and make it so fascinating and amazing?
So it is. It's amazingly simple. And what we found through the years, though, is you can take a really simple business that's commoditized, and then you can kind of break it down. And some of the things we did through the years were, we, believe it or not, branded gloves. And it's right up there with branding toilet paper or paper clips or something like that. But through that process, over the years, we've been able to take those brands and extend them globally. And then also we found out, dug down on kind of what the needs were of a lot of our clients. And some of our clients, our biggest needs were to develop programs to help our dealers sell more.
Yeah, you've had a pretty creative team up there in figuring out how to sell gloves. In fact, really, it's become more than just the gloves, hasn't it, Fred? Tell me about that.
Yeah, through the years, I mean, we obviously, the way we started 27 years ago is radically different than where we are today. But there was dispenser systems, there were sampling systems, there were sales systems. And now where we're going today is really the whole digital marketing piece, and then taking our dealers online with e-commerce. But just not the standard way people work in our business. Is our competitors, it's just like, here's the stuff, it's really cheap, you know, go sell it. And we just felt that that never worked for us.
I remember there's an old fable about this beggar that comes to this house, and the woman doesn't want to give him very much to eat. So he says, well, I'll teach you how to make rusty nail soup. And she says, really? He says, yeah, it's an amazing soup. So he gives her the rusty nail, and then he gets her to add in the carrots and the potatoes and everything just to make this soup even better. I mean, you've almost taken that approach. You know, here's a glove, and here's all the things that you're going to need around it, which becomes a very interesting business.
Exactly. And there's been just an explosion of the business across a lot of different areas. When we first started, there was only two places you could sell, dental and medical. Now today, you know, we see in North America, 99% of our gloves are sold into non-medical situations. In China, 92% of what we sell, we actually import, because Chinese clients will pay a premium for what they perceive as imported product.
How big is Amex now? How many people you got working for you?
We have different people in different continents, but probably a combined team of around 175 to 200 team members.
What are your particular objectives with the company now?
Really, my roles evolved over time, and I started as an entrepreneur and I grew it. And one of the things that I tried to do in the company was we have a platform, and then the system on this platform, we have the center business, and we grew other businesses around it. And it took me a little longer than most people to figure this out, but I figured, you know, it's just better to get really great people to come in and work and take things on. So the last couple of years, we've really been developing the management team, and then taking the young leadership that's growing up through the group and then putting them in places to take on the leadership roles, from the president to head of IT, a number of different areas around the company. So I kind of, in a way, have stepped back. I'm almost completely out of North American operations, focused mostly on China, a lot of our operations in the Philippines. And I'm really focused on, you know, I would say coaching, leadership, and strategy.
What was the trigger point for that? What made you go, okay, this is the first action I'm going to take today on pulling myself out?
Well, I made a decision 9 years ago when we were growing our business, was to just move to China. So I grew up in Seattle. The company was in Seattle. I said, look, I'm just going to go to China. I think there's more opportunity for us to develop our businesses in Asia. And you know, I think the States was growing. It was going to continue to grow, and we could manage that from afar. And so I think just the geographic proximity, once that was eliminated, it really liberated me to start to say, well, how, you know, what else can you do? And then also, if you overlay that with how things have just changed in terms of mobility, everything moving to the cloud, how you can get around. I mean, if you traveled 10 years ago, you'd be gone for 2 weeks and you get back and you're just buried. I get back to Seattle and I'm like, 10 o'clock in the morning, I got nothing to do.
Well, look, I think if there's, you know, I know that one of the top things that everybody wants to talk about in YPO is innovation, but probably I would say one of the top things they should be talking about is succession, especially for those who want to free themselves up and move on to other things. You told me about Keo, who's now running your North American operation. He seems bright. He seems capable. What were the keys in getting that to where you could just hand it over?
Our philosophy, we decided to develop team members from within inside. You know, bringing people from the outside, we just felt it's never really, you know, it clashed with our culture and DNA more than it absorbed it. So young man, been through the organization 10 years, worked his way up, done an incredible job at each level, and began to put him on a track a couple years ago to take on the role of president of all North American operations. We had him work with a coach, went through a number of leadership programs, and then he stepped in the last year and just done an incredible job. He's just brought a whole energy and a, you know, new face and kind of vision and eyeballs to everything. It was like, frankly, just made it so much better.
How much calendar time and actual training time do you think you invested into this succession plan? I mean, how long did it take for Keo to be able to step up and take over completely?
About 18 months.
So you're a busy guy. You got a lot of people in a lot of places. You travel a lot. Give me some things that you apply to your productivity that has worked for you, made it so that you can be efficient with all these people in all these places. What do you do?
I think the biggest thing I've tried to do in the last several years is really to time block my time. I'm working with folks in North America. I'm working with people in Asia. So you got different time zones. So I'll really go and block my time for a week, for a month out, and knowing where I'm going to be and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to interface with it. And that then, I think, then frees me up, then helps me prioritize what I need to do. And then what I'll also do is I'll prioritize all my family and personal vacations and everything out 15 months.
What key issues are keeping you up at night right now?
Top of the list in terms of business aspect is just people. It's getting the right people to help us build and grow organizations. We have no shortage of opportunity. We've got more exciting things going on than ever before. So that's on that. I would say that's on the business side. I think on the personal side, then it's balancing, you know, work and life and family and all those other things like that, and making sure I do it. I think actually today I do a much better job than I did probably when we were going through rapid, fast growth as an entrepreneurial stage, because we have just a great team around us.
Any specific thing you're doing differently?
When I look back and building an organization, and you know, I think in the early years and the mid years of our company over the 27, I was a lot more involved. And I just realized that, look, I'm just not capable of, or have no desire to work 12 to 16 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week.
Okay, Fred, it's time for our rapid fire questions. Let's go. What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
Tell me something I don't know. Or what have you learned in the last week that's the most interesting thing to you?
Name three of your personal core values.
I'd say resilience, adventure, and loyalty.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
I'd say my grandfather. He was a school principal, and you know, we would go around and he was always buying, selling, bartering things, building things, and I just at a really young age just got involved in that, and it's just one of those lucky, fortunate deals.
What's your favorite business book?
I'd say Great by Choice by Jim Collins, and I'd got to say Vern Harnish's book, Scaling Up, is awesome in terms of just implementation.
What are you reading right now?
Two books, Jeff Sutherland's book, Scrum, and General McChrystal's book, Team of Teams.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
It's been energizing people around an idea or a concept or something like that and getting them fired up.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Failure to praise people.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
You just got to be learning every day.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
I read an article, it was a case study a couple years ago from Harvard Business School, and it was on Sir Alex Ferguson from Manchester United. And he had one thing he said to all players was, he said, well done. And ever since then, I've used that because I think it's a great thing, because it's sincere and it's meaningful. I think a lot of times when people do say things, it isn't heartfelt, it isn't sincere. And I think team members can see through that, people can see through that. But I think you just go and pat them on the back and say, well done, you did an awesome job. And I think that resonates.
Awesome. Well, Fred, thank you very, very much for coming to our interview. All I got to say to you is well done. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. I'm Kevin Dom, and you've been listening to the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top.